The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
You're very welcome back to the second hour of today's programme as we approach 10 minutes past 10. I hope you're all feeling very well this morning. And thanks so much for being with us today. Right, lots of people coming in and coming in with comments and what have you. Not surprising, I suppose, as school returns, that there's a few wee issues popping up there. A caller says, hi, Greg, I know this comes up on your show, but why do some schools still insist on girls not being allowed to take off the jumper in this heat? It's totally wrong and unfair. I had two girls come home yesterday, totally drained and sweating. And is that, what is the logic behind that? I do understand that the reasons as to why in normal circumstances, but when it's so warm, why would people be forced to continue wearing really heavy winter sweaters? If that's an issue for you or you have a comment on that, you know the numbers. Another caller says, I don't agree with the cashless card system that they're introducing in the schools. I was in touch with the catering company and was advised that the banks have put a huge pressure on them, but was also advised that the canteen workers will still accept cash and put it into the child's card. I feel that this is not fair and kids should be allowed to use cash and not cards. When the kids have cash, they know what they have and know what they have to spend. Cash should be used, says this listener. I wonder what the young ones think of it, though. I mean, is this what we want? Or do the young ones go, I'd prefer to use cash. I say that Aaron's still in school. He loves cash. And I don't mean like we all love cash, don't get me wrong, but he always tries to have a bit of cash with him. Yes, that's the price for building now. Tell that couple to go down the route of a wooden frame house. It will cost them 50 or 60 grand. That's what my friend is doing. We have a young couple. I believe they were young anyway, judging by how the text was phrased. They got a quote for a property to be built on land that they were given. Or it's from the father, whether they paid for it or not, I don't know. But €350,000 for a relatively modest three-bedroomed house. But this caller say, have a look at wooden frame. And you know what? There's a strong argument for many reasons to look at wooden frames, isn't there? That lady was on talking about her daughter, bless her. I hope she recovers soon. But that's the third person I've heard of who's in a similar circumstances in recent months. Where did we stand before the COVID injection? Scary to think. It's hard to know. I mean, because the thing as well, what people say the COVID jabs can do to some people, COVID can do to some people as well, how it affects your blood. I mean, we can have that debate. I'm not sure at this point where we'd go with it. But that being said, I do know some people that received advice who were in a similar circumstances that received advice to avoid any further COVID injections. So there's different views out there on that. Greg, can you tell that couple that got the big price for their house to get a local man to build the house and supply the materials themselves? Most local builders would advise them what to get. Read the boiler. I think it's 100% the tenant's responsibility. Okay, but now keep in mind that he didn't. They haven't used it. So, I mean, is it in the contract that use it or lose it? It won't work? I don't know. It's a tough one. Ask this lady who had her daughter the COVID injection. Another caller says the psychiatric day centre in Carn SUV, that's the old convent, hasn't reopened after COVID. I think that this is a disgrace. It was where its clients could meet up, partake in activities and be under the eye of mental health professionals. Most of all, it alleviated loneliness and isolation for these people. Please look into this. Another here. Hi, our national school, that is a DESH school, has requested €25 for photocopying and art materials. The principal sent out a gentle reminder, no mention of it being optional. Child's name must be written on the envelope, so they are obviously keeping a record. Right, okay. As I say, DESH schools particularly are in areas where there is more deprivation, I think the word is. So a €25 bill for photocopying and art materials, I don't know. Right, okay. Let us see. I want another couple of comments here just before we go to the break. A caller says, I'm quite tech savvy, but nearly caught out on a WhatsApp scam pretending to be my son who changed phone numbers and providers. Then needed money. Sent message on Facebook to son, asked for his date of birth and location of birth, complained to WhatsApp and blocked scammer. Gardaí advised to call local station. who could probably not have time or a clue to catch scammers. Why don't Gardaí have a central anti-cyber scam and maybe include cyberbullying, etc. section aligned with the phone and social media providers is beyond me. Another closure of day hospital by COVID stealth. Other people, especially living alone, need this service. Totally agree with Tony. Same problem in St. Joseph's, Stranorlar. This is shortening people's lives and reducing their quality of life and health. And another one here on speed vans. Get rid of the speed vans. It's only a sideline for Garda. Well, there's no advantage in it for Garda as such. These are an independent company that are employed. Not your rank and file Garda. They've got to, there's no benefit for them at all. They certainly don't see any of the money. That's why so many of them are leaving. That unfortunately is the story all over Donegal. Government are living in another world than the people of every day. But there's going to come a point here when all of this stuff adds up that we are enduring. It's a beautiful place. And on a day like today, where else would you be? And there's so much positive to talk about in Donegal. But that doesn't mean at times we don't have to highlight where things are going wrong. And especially when it seems to affect particular groups of people. And that's where we're at right now. We have to also be able to talk about that and shine a spotlight on that. But there's going to come a point where people are going to go, right, enough is enough. What's going on here?
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
Okay, 18 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 5th of September 2023, and we're joined in studio by Garda Claire Rafferty, attached to the Milford Garda Station. Thank you, Claire, for joining us this morning. It's really appreciated.
Morning, Greg.
Okay, quite a bit to get through, so we'll get straight into it. And seeking the public's assistance in relation to a fatal road traffic collision at Bridgend.
Yeah, unfortunately, now we've to start off with a sad one, but Gardaí and Buncrán are investigating a fatal road traffic collision that occurred at Carraway Bridge End on Tuesday last, the 29th of August 2023. The single vehicle collision involving a car occurred between 8:30 a.m. and 9 a.m. and sadly the male driver of the car was pronounced deceased at the scene. So Gardaí are appealing to anyone who may have witnessed this collision to contact them. Any road users who may have camera footage, including dash cam or anything at all, or anyone who is travelling in the Bridge End to Calais area between 8 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. last Tuesday, we're asking you to make this footage available to us. Anyone with any information is asked to contact Buncrana Garda Station on 074-93-20540, and the Garda confidential line is there as well on 1-800-666-111, or indeed any Garda station can be contacted at all.
Okay, and you know, let the Garda judge if the information is relevant. Get in contact, and because there's an extensive investigation is carried out after such a tragedy. Moving to Letterkenny now, and investigations ongoing into an assault.
Yeah, so there was an assault at Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, on Sunday the 27th of August, and this was at approximately 3:05 a.m. So the male, the injured party in question, received a punch to the face and he ended up having facial injuries that required treatment in hospital. So we appeal to anyone that may have witnessed this incident to contact the Gardaí in Letterkenny on 074-916-7100.
And also an assault a little later, the 2nd of September, also in Letterkenny.
Yeah, so another one. This one happened at Gorton Grainne on Saturday the 2nd. So it was Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. A male living in the area was assaulted by another male. He received injuries to his eye. So we ask anyone with any information, you know, this was evening time, there would have been people around, I'm sure. So if you've seen anything or know anything in relation to this assault, to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny, please.
Okay, our next focus is on burglaries, starting at Hazelbrook Crescent or Hazelwood Crescent.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Gardaí in Letterkenny are appealing for this one. Again, to a burglary incident that occurred on Saturday the 2nd of September between 1 a.m. and 1:30 a.m. So essentially Friday night into Saturday. A house was entered via an unlocked door and a PlayStation 5 was stolen from the property. So if anyone has any relevant information to offer, we ask them to contact Letterkenny on 074-916-7100.
And again, this is not to attribute any blame, and we all make mistakes and what have you, but we do have to remind ourselves, don't we, just to make sure that we lock up and keep our valuables secure as much as possible.
Yeah, take that extra time when you're leaving the house. Just double check and make sure all doors are locked and all windows are closed and, if possible, locked as well, because we don't want to make things easy for people. This is someone who's seen an opportunity, checked the door, it was open, and made away with the PlayStation. Yeah.
And often we think we nip out, but we can get caught up doing other things as well then.
It doesn't take them long.
Yeah, really quickly. Okay, now a second burglary, this time at Fair Green Park.
Yeah, so we have another PlayStation stolen here. So this one was at Fair Green Park on Friday the 1st of September, between 8:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. So the owner arrived home and he reported that entry was gained to the property and a number of items taken, this time including a PlayStation 4. So we ask if anyone's seen anyone acting suspicious in around the area during those times to please contact Letterkenny Gardaí. Or also, if anyone has offered you an item as such for sale, it would be very important for us to check that out. It may be genuine, but let us work at that and figure that out.
Yeah, for sure. All right, two instances now of criminal damage, the first in Lifford.
Yeah, so this was by fire. A Toyota Hiace van was burnt out on Port Newer Lifford at approximately 11:30 p.m. on Saturday night, the 2nd of September. So the owner of the vehicle just returned home to find that the van had been burnt out. So we appeal to anyone who may have any relevant information in relation to this incident to make contact with Gardaí and Letterkenny again on 074-916-7100.
And this time, criminal damage in Ballybuffet.
Yeah, this one is at Mean Glass Road, Ballybuffet, between 5:30 a.m. and 6 a.m. on Sunday morning, the 3rd of September. A window on a car was broken. So if anyone was in that area and has any information to offer us, we'd ask you to please contact Letterkenny Gardaí.
Yep, and with all of these cases, and the reason it's mentioned, more and more people have doorbell cameras, external cameras, dash cam footage. This could all be really critical in bringing a lot of these resolution to a lot of these cases as well. It's not mentioned for the crack.
No, it's
really important tool now.
If you have anything at all, even if you think it mightn't have caught anything, let us worry about it. We'll have a look into it, because we appreciate any information going at all.
Now, hedge cutting.
Yeah, so it's that time of year again. The season's in full swing, and we would like to remind all road users to be mindful of this when they're travelling, particularly on country roads. So the hedges can be cut between the 1st of September and the 1st of March. So there will be a visible increase in this type of large machinery in operation along roadsides over the coming weeks. So just bear it in mind and please drive with due care and remain alert at all times.
A little bit of patience goes a long way too.
Well, you do see it sometimes. Needed.
the horns go in, the lights are being flashed, and advantage?
These hedges are being cut to increase visibility for road users as well. So they are doing us a favour too. So we need to bear that in mind.
Right. Now, we had our latest national slowdown day yesterday.
Yeah, so from 7 a.m. yesterday till 7 a.m. this morning, Gardaí were out across the country and across the Donegal division conducting speed checks. So we just said we'd mention some notable speeds detected in Donegal. One of which was in a 60-kilometre zone, a driver was caught doing 90 kilometres in Bundoran. And then somebody was doing 114 kilometres per hour in an 80-kilometre zone in Glentoher. And then a large one here, 160 kilometres per hour in a 100-kilometre zone in the Letterkenny area. So that driver in particular was arrested and he has been charged and will appear in court. So we continue to appeal to drivers to comply with the speed limit in order to reduce the number of speed-related injuries and collisions, save lives, reduce injuries on the road. We've seen the stats of late of how many people have been injured on the roads, and it's alarming. So if anyone can do anything to reduce it, we'd ask you. Please slow down.
Yeah, and the headline figure obviously is the amount of fatalities. Awful tragedy visited on so many communities. But then the families of the deceased and the impact it has on them. And then the multiple of people with often life-changing injuries that you don't necessarily hear about as well. It's not just that awful number of people that sadly pass away. It ripples far beyond that, doesn't it? And also, too, there's some interesting videos on the likes of TikTok or YouTube, right, that shows how cars react at different speeds and the difference between 60 and 114 or 60 and 90 or 80 and 100. You know what I mean? It's shocking,
the impact. Lots of different factors. Mm. The speed, as you say, those videos, there's other ones as well. With the tyre thread on your car, the difference that can make as well. And then road factors, if the road's wet, you have to bear that in mind too. You know, all these things brought in together makes for dangerous outcomes, you know.
Okay. Claire, thank you so much for all of your time and getting this together as well. We really do appreciate it. That's Garda Claire Rafferty from the Milford Garda Station. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 5th of September. It will be available for you to watch back later on ours and on Garda Síochána's Facebook page, and it's back live for you after 10 next Tuesday. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're joined on it now by Patrick. Patrick, how are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. How are you? And it's a lovely, fine morning.
Isn't it just beautiful, Patrick? Come here. What's your views on what we're seeing on our roads, the awful
I've been listening to it for the last 2 days, and I love the show. And to be honest, my opinion is, first of all, yesterday on the radio, every time the news was on, they were advertising it was a slowdown day.
Yeah.
So, first of all, for me, the people that were caught speeding weren't tuned into Highland Radio because they were slowed down because they got the heads up that it was on. I don't think it's something that should be advertised, first of all, because they would catch more people, because they'd catch more people that are speeding without letting them know that that's an actual day that the guards are out in full force. That's my first comment.
And before you go, before you go on to your second, Patrick, I initially would agree with you, because I remember the head of traffic at the time when GoSafe was being brought in, I was like, well, what's the logic here? They're very high visible. Everyone knows where they'll be. There's a list of the locations on the internet.
And
they said that is the strategy, that that they're located where it's particularly dangerous. And if people slow down, that's what they want. It's not about shooting fish in a barrel. This was the argument put to me. Now, I know people have a different view, but they're located where we've seen serious crashes before, and the guards say it doesn't matter why they slow down. If they know it's there in advance, at least they're slowing down in these bad areas.
Well, I'm glad we're on the same wavelength, but I just don't see the logic behind it. I can't see. I think that number would have maybe had in the whole of Ireland, you might have doubled that yesterday if radios weren't, like, 100%, if it wasn't on the internet, it wasn't letting people know, and you know what I mean? I just think it'd be the number would be a lot higher in terms of the people that they're catching speeding. But it leads on, though, to the poor families with the amount of tragedies that we've had in this country this year has been unreal. And from knowing people that have lost family members to crashes, I think it's also very sad to always have this association to speed and young ones off. They're mad in the road, they're going hard. So I think that the Green Party and the council should be held accountable for some of the road death that's happened. And I'll get into a wee bit of depth with the Green Party. The circumstances are not allowed to cut in road, but hedges and cleaning ditches alongside the roads. So you've got hedges now that are coming across and meeting almost. You know, it's really bad visibility around corners and such. And then you've got drains that years ago, oh my God, the wee village I used to live in, there were wee old men and they would be there with their bill hooks and their hand hooks. And you could have drunk the water out of the drains. They had the drains immaculate. And on bad country roads that were so well kept, this has come back like years, and they were part of the council scheme. And I remember it was all hand tools. And the place was immaculate. The place was beautiful. The roads were, do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden now, the Green Party's not allowing us to do this. The water's not getting away, so it's lying on the road. And with the amount of rain that we've been getting and the amount of flooding is diabolical. The burns and the streams are choked with branches and overgrown trees. And then we get ones that aren't you know, they're just so unusual for this time of year because the trees are so heavy, they're hanging over the burns, they're breaking, they're falling into things. We're not allowed to clean them. So they're blocking up. It all has a knock-on effect.
Yeah, and listen, I've said it before, there are a number of factors in a road traffic collision. There's the driver behaviour, there's the condition of the vehicle, and there's the condition of the roads as well. But let it pump me to you like this. The problem is there's never a good time to talk about road safety, unfortunately. It's not to blame or to say why a crash happened, but we can't not talk about what's going on the roads with the incredible loss of life and serious injury. And, you know, the guards do really extensive investigations into these instances, Patrick, as you can imagine. And they're obviously concerned of the factor of speeding in the crashes that they're investigating and going on to the scene. So whilst you're correct in what you're saying, yes, we have to make sure the roads are as safe as possible, the guards must have some particular evidence that points to speed being a factor in some of the awful situations that we're seeing.
I totally agree. Yeah, there is no doubt about their speed involved. That's a factor. But if you take a corner that a young person's been driving on, right, he knows the road, we'll just say now for argument's sake, and he's driving, we'll say, from Remelton to Letterkenny. He knows that road like the back of his hand. And he's up and down that road all the time. And yes, he's probably flying because he's used to that road. But if all of a sudden, like there's been situations where there's downpours of water, the water's not getting away, it's on the road. That young fella's coming around that corner, yes, there's speed involved. Mm. He's not taking into consideration the rain on the road. But even worse, he's not taking into consideration there's a puddle maybe crossing over into the second lane. And therefore, that's now a new thing for him that he's never came across.
Understood.
He tries to avoid that. You know what I mean? 100% there is speed involved. But if there's conditions on the road, I'll give you another perfect example. The back of vehicles, a road I drive on regularly. And the Northern Irish crowd that repaired the road they were in, you always know the difference because of the, well, two reasons. One, the surface finish is incredible, and you always know the Northern Irish registration, so you know that a company is taken in to do the job. Then you'll go then to where Glenbay National Park is, where our council has repaired the road. And the two surfaces are just unbelievably different. Mm-hmm. It's just like, one is like you'd need a 4x4 to drive on when the council's finished, our council. And the other one, you could have slicks on the roads that beautifully
Yeah, I
well
get you. And I think probably there are factors in terms of, you know yourself, these roads get changed, resurfaced completely at different
100%.
Times, and then there's maintenance.
Exactly.
But listen, I know what you're saying, Patrick. I think though our guys are doing the best with the tools and the equipment.
Without
and the,
a doubt,
the time
I get you.
I don't disagree with you. I think we do need to definitely have more of a conversation about the surfaces and the conditions of our roads as well. But alongside the conversation about speeding, Patrick, would we agree on that then, that we have to make sure we don't say, well, it's not speeding, it's this, it's not this, it's speeding.
Education's a big important factor, there's no doubt about it. And I think, to be honest, as part of the driving test, I think it would be phenomenal. I know that's going to sound really harsh, but I think it'd be phenomenal for part of your driving test. You know, when you're going to do your, what they call it, exam. Mm-hmm. I think they should have a 15-minute at the end of your exam where you have to sit and watch this video, and it has to be a password. And it should be video evidence, and it should be photographic images of cars and the structure and the situation. But also on that video, have the Gardaí going to the doors and knocking on these families' doors. Because young ones, young ones don't think when they're jumping out of the car and they're going flying, they're not thinking of the consequences of what's left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a brilliant thing to have in a video.
It's proven because we have these road safety road shows that take place in Letterkenny every year, and it's clear chatting to the young ones after they've been shown the reality of it, that it does stay with them. But Patrick, my concern is that if we were really serious about road safety, it would be part, firstly, of at least transition year, that road safety would form part of the education system if it's not happening already. Also, let's say as it is, the driving test thing is a joke, right? Because say, for instance, you do your test in Donegal Town. You just have to get 20 minutes right. No motorway, no frost, no darkness, no roundabouts, no traffic lights. And then you get through your 18, 20 minutes, and that's it. You can jump in your car and pretty much go anywhere. So again, it's not really preparing us. And of course, maybe people might say, well, you've got the 12 lessons in advance. Again, though, if you're doing them in certain areas of the county or country, you don't come across any of the problems that we're talking about now. So, like, I would just love to see road safety intertwined a wee bit more with the education and maybe elements of the whole driving test system we need to look at, because it feels like it's a lot of money, but what are you getting out of it?
I'm going to 100% agree with you, Greg. I think every point you made is so unbelievable. And you never mentioned about Letterkenny having roundabouts for their test, and the majority of them are marked wrongly, which is even funnier. Do you know what I mean?
What's the pole star going to be like? I mean, that is...
Yeah.
It might be perfect, but my word, that is a strange roundabout to begin with, because you can have effectively three or four cars trying to go in one lane.
Yeah.
How...
One lane,
you're going to have people sitting on that roundabout with red lights. It's going to be very interesting.
I sat my test in the UK, in Scotland, and I totally agree with you. It's so unfair to see somebody that grew up in a city having to sit in a city, and somebody in a rural place. It's a different lesson. It's a different, as you say, it's 100%. But Camira, but the education sector of it, I think that the age should be first year and secondary school. I'll tell you the reason why I would go that low. You can go up there now, for example, there's an event on this weekend in Letterkenny, the drifting, and you can go out there and there's kids and cars drifting, and I think that's phenomenal. I think that's a great thing, because I've got a place to go there and do, and I think it's a fantastic idea, because it's getting them off roads and getting them off, and I love that. But in terms of the education for the speed, it needs to go right down to the very beginning of first year, because that's what age there needs to do donuts and stuff.
Patrick, why did we all end up wearing seatbelts? Because the young ones come out of school and said, Dad, Mom, put your seatbelt on, because they were told in school how important seatbelts were. Because it was a very different time. I don't have a great memory of where you didn't really have to wear a seatbelt, but I really think it was the young ones being taught in national school and secondary school that told Mum and Dad to put the seatbelts on. So I agree with you, maybe even earlier. But I'm saying let's start something. Let's try something, because we... And also we need to speak to young people, Patrick. And you and me and you seem to have been a similar mind, whereby you understand, you know, that it's those differing things are controlled and safe and people can have fun in a safe environment. But we talk about young people... We talk about them, but we don't talk to them enough to say, well, what would you like to see done? What should be done? What might change your mind or your peers' minds? And we do it with older people as well for some reason. We talk at them and about them, but not to them.
Well, I had this conversation the other day with three young guys in the car. I had 70, three boys about 17, 16, 17, and they were talking about the draft and so on, stuff like this, and I was saying stuff exactly like that to them. And I think when they got out of the car, I think they were a bit shocked, because I was saying to them about the speed situation. I go, right, well, take out of the equation. I said, you're gone, right? You've wrecked the car, and you've not only had, you've done yourself in, but you've done your passengers in. I said, well, forget about you, because you're gone. But I said, think of your mum and dad. Now, they're going to get a knock to a door by two police or two Gardaí. And picture that news coming into them. And this was me in the car to them, and I swear to God, I think they were like, oh my God. I go, it's something you need to take into consideration when you get into a car. Not only for you, but for the people that you're putting into your car. You're destroying their lives too if this goes wrong. And I was like, you know, trying to drum this into them and say, listen, it's fantastic, speed's fantastic, it's all good crack, we all love rallies, hill climbs. You know, everybody loves a bit of speed, there's no doubt about it. There is places to go, there's things to do. But for younger people coming through, they have to be educated and told the consequences are serious. When it goes wrong, you're out of the equation, but it's what you're leaving behind. And worse, if you survive as a driver and your passengers have passed away, to carry that burden knowing that you were speeding, oh my God, that must be hell on earth.
All right. Anne-Marie on Facebook, totally agree with Patrick with regards road conditions and the hedges at the side, the roadside. So many road signs, warning signs are hidden behind trees now, which is a little bit of a hobby horse of mine too. That does annoy me. All right, Patrick, thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Sorry, Greg, before I go, yeah. Could I get one more weak back point? I've been on to my local TD about it over here in Gador. I use the back of Erica regularly. I was on to your assistant there on during the week. And it's to try and drum in. The people need to get behind us. The back of Erica, we have to get signage for deer. It's only a matter of time before a family's destroyed or, you know, they're always talking about culling. I don't think we need to cull them, but we need to signpost that there's deer on that road. There's no signs at all from Letterkenny to Gador down the back of Erica. There's not one sign for deer on that road, not one. And when you're going back the other way, coming from Gador, heading to Letterkenny, when you turn off at the after the Iron Kirch, there's one sign there, one sign on that junction, and that's the only deer sign on that whole road. And I just think, you know, we need to push. The people of the area need to keep getting onto our councils, get onto our TDs. We need to get signage for people, tourism. It is the main road. I don't care. I wouldn't go around the other road when I'm coming to Gador. It's too long of a run. And I would still class that as my main road home. But at night time, after 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, this last few nights has been packed with deer. Mm. And I just want people to be aware of it, but the council need to signpost it.
All right. Good stuff, Patrick. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you for your time. Lots of you messaging in on that issue. Let's get to some of those now. Greg, I drive 30,000 miles every year and haven't seen a checkpoint in years, including COVID. No Garda presence on the roads. Another caller says, good morning. Instead of sex and porn education being taught in our schools, it would fit the government better to introduce safe driving courses and lessons for our young people. I'd like to make a comment about road collisions. The vehicles driven in Ireland are too powerful for the roads that we have. Road conditions are atrocious compared to other European countries. Our government is responsible. Well, Greg, I was travelling from Bundoran to Letterkenny. There was a Jeep ahead of me doing 80 kilometres per hour. I pulled out to pass it and, as I was next to him, there was a speed van there. I was done for speed because I was doing 130 kilometres per hour to get past this other Jeep, and I slowed down after passing the speed limit, but I got a €160 fine and 3 penalty points. Is this fair? It's a toughie. I know what you're saying. You momentarily breached the speed limit to, in your view, safely get around that Jeep. But I suppose they will probably say 100 kilometres per hour is, it's the upper limit. It's not a target. I'm not sure you'll... You certainly would. I wouldn't go to the bother appealing it because you'll get your fine doubled and your penalty points doubled too, probably. The guards want to start looking at people texting and using mobile phones while driving on the roads. It's unbelievable. Good morning, Highland Radio. The number of people using mobile phones while driving is out of hand. Get as a HGV driver, I see people looking at their phones. That's why so many car collisions happen. I suppose they're in an elevated position, so they do see what's going on. When a guard, perhaps in a regular vehicle, or the rest of us don't see what's going on. Okay, we are joined on the programme now by Cecily Gilligan, author of a new publication called The Cures of Ireland, A Treasury of Irish Folk Remedies. Good morning to you, Cecily. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you on the show. So there's still a great interest in cures. People have the cures. So we know people would have reputations for having the cures for certain ailments. But then there are other things that people take as a cure. Is there a difference between these two areas or are they all the one?
Well, they're probably all interconnected. Basically, I've done a lot of research for this book. And I found that there are primarily two types of cures in Ireland. There's faith cures, which are very common, and we also have herbal cures. But the difference from in my research would be about 80% are faith prayer cures. People believe generally that the cure comes from God, and then the herbal cures exist, but they're less strong than they were in the past. We've lost a lot of the herbal cures. And then people would also use things like holy wells for healing and healing clays, particularly strong in Donegal, healing stones. Yes.
And how big of, I was going to say an industry, but I can't find the word. How big of a sort of a movement or activity is it now still? In other words, you know, do we have any sense of across the Northwest how many people are seeking out cures, how many people are offering them?
Well, it's hard to quantify, but it definitely exists and it's definitely quite strong, particularly in the northwest. And I think particularly in Donegal, I would interview quite a lot of people from there, and people are still using the cures, and there's belief out there. Now, obviously, it has diminished from, say, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, definitely. And modern medicine is, you know, is the dominant model, obviously, and people get great help there. But people are also interested in alternative types of medicines or therapies. And I think the traditional cures kind of come under that category also, because traditional medicine or the folk cures are, you know, they address the needs of the person physically and psychologically and spiritually. Because there's a usually, like you say, for example, if you go for a cure to somebody, often, you know, you go to their house, you might have a cup of tea with them, you have a chat with them, they listen to your problems, apart from maybe you've got shingles, but you tell them what's going on in your life. So there's a kind of a supportive psychological element to the cure there, which is important. Yes.
And people might go, well, why do people not talk about cures as much as they might have in the past? But there's actually, as far as I'm aware, really quite tight regulations on the discussion or sharing of this information on, you know, in radio stations and on newspapers as well. So they have been policied out of general conversation, certainly in the media anyway.
Yeah, well, that possibly may be the case, but also the tradition would be very much that the cures are passed by word of mouth. So you're looking for a cure for your asthma, and then you ask your neighbours, your friends, your work colleagues, and someone will tell you of a cure or a name or a number. So the cures have always been passed. The word of mouth is very strong, that tradition. And then also I found people were very private about their cures in general. And in my book, I describe the cures and I describe what the people do, but I don't give individual names or pinpoint exactly where they live. I generalise that because most people wanted to be private about their cure, and they wanted just kept like that. And also some people would have said to me that the actual looking for the cure and making the effort to find a cure, maybe driving down a few country roads and knocking on a few doors or making inquiries, that's actually part of the cure. Mm-hmm. Because I suppose you're actually going out there and you're empowering yourself and you're saying, I'm going to find this cure, it's going to help me. And it's a very good start, basically, to the healing process.
And this was a real deep dive. 93 men and women of all ages who currently dispense cures right now. How did you manage to reach all of those people and I suppose also, you know, persuade them to take part?
Yeah, well, just like you're saying, it wasn't simple. It took a lot of time. I was 5 years and more researching this book part time. I'm also a teacher, a primary teacher. But so I just would literally get a name, a few names, and then I would follow up a lead. It's like any kind of investigative work. And I would find people, and then I always ask people, do you know somebody else who has a cure? And they might give me a name or two, and then I would look. And sometimes you get false leads. And sometimes occasionally someone wouldn't want to talk to me. But in general, I found people were willing to talk. And again, I said I respect their privacy. I wouldn't reveal their identity. And that's what I've done in my book. And so I hope that answers the question.
Yes, of course, it does indeed. Now, you yourself coming from a position where you have a belief in cures.
Yes.
Because you've availed of them yourself.
Yes, I have. Yeah, well, I grew up in and I still live in rural County Sligo. And the cures were very strong when I was growing up. So they were just part and parcel of our life. We took it for granted. And I suppose it was when I was older, I started to realise that this is something special, something different, and maybe doesn't exist in all countries. So when I was, it was in the late 1980s, I was in university in Cork, and I did a project on the old cures, a thesis for my final year thesis for my degree. And that was a good piece of research. I went out and interviewed people. And then I subsequently, that would ultimately have led to this book. It was sort of the foundation for this book. But yeah, I do believe in the cures. And like what I say in my book, you know, I don't think they work for everybody every time, but I think they work, you know, maybe quite a lot of the time. And for many people, everybody's different. Everyone's an individual. That's what people who have cures would say to me as well. They say my cure mightn't work every time, but it works, you know, maybe a good bit of the time. Mm. And I suppose the thing, just the one point there, I think, is that because the cures have managed to survive for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and they're currently surviving in 21st century Ireland, which is kind of amazing considering, you know, how society has changed so much medically and technologically. So I think because they have survived, it does say that they are effective, that they work. And that's what people would have said to me. My cure wouldn't survive if it never worked. People should, they wouldn't come back to me. Mm. So,
and is it the case that for the majority of the time, it's not for notoriety or financial gain? I seem to recall chatting to someone some time ago. They didn't describe it as a curse, but they wanted to pass it on. I think it was one of those ones where it could be passed forward or something, that, you know, they recognised that they had it, but they didn't want to have to keep going through the process. So, like, what is there a sort of a personality trait that was common through many of the people that you were looking into?
Yeah, well, I would say the personality trait is generosity of spirit. People like give a lot of their time and energy to the cure. Some cures are quite complex, quite difficult, involving a number of visits. Other cures are quite simple. Maybe you say a prayer, like the bleeding prayer is, you just call the man, for example, one of the people that have it, and they make the cure. So it's relatively straightforward. Mm-hmm. There's a big investment of time and energy. So I would say generosity is very important. And yeah, for some people, I don't believe, from my research, I don't people have financially gained from cures.
Yeah, nothing,
occasionally, some people, especially if it's a herbal cure, might have a set fee, but generally it's fairly small. Some people will accept money. Many, many people will not accept money. Or if they do accept money, they'll give it straight to charity, or they give part of it to charity. So I've discussed all that in my book. But I definitely don't think people use it. I think they use it because it's something that they've inherited. Often it's part of their family, their family's tradition, inheritance, and they want to keep the cures alive. And that point you made, cures can be tricky. They can be difficult. You know, someone said to me, you have to be a people's person, mm-hmm. a man with a Bell's palsy cure. From our ma said that to me. He said, you have to be a people's person because you have to be, you know, willing people to come to your house, to engage with them, to chat to them on the phone, and often for no obvious reward. It's complex.
Well, it's out now, published by Merriam Press. It's Cures of Ireland, a treasury of Irish folk remedies. And so this is not, so does the public know, it's not a list of where you can get various cures, is it? This is about really just examining the whole, how it's part of, you know, our history and our present history as well. It's that. So where can people get the book? Cecilia.
Okay, well, as they say, the book Greg, thank you. The book is widely available in all good bookshops, as they say. I know it's available in Letterkenny.
Brilliant.
In the shops there and everywhere. And you can get online from Merriam Press. My book looks at, I don't individualize it. I talk about individual people, but what I try to do is look at the bigger picture to try and link all these disparate people who mm-hmm. don't seem to have an obvious connection. And I link them together to the bigger picture, which is the ancient, very old tradition of healing in Ireland.
Yes.
And the cures are very old. And I hope it's part of people. I tried to make it as comprehensive and analytical as well to try and understand it, to go into it in depth.
And it's really important for this to be noted, for a record of this, because we are changing all the while, and this is really, really important. But very quickly, from one generation to the next, this information of who we are can be lost. Cecily, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Garmaga.
Bye-bye, Slán. That's Cecily Gilligan, author of The Cures of Ireland.